know that depending on where you are, this Coca-Cola costs more, right? Like, if you get one at home, and I'm just giving you estimates according to ChatGPT, so I don't really know if this is true or not, right? But that's too lazy to get on, right? We don't use ChatGPT. We just Google it and we think it's different. It's not different, y'all, just so you know, right? But if you get one of these at home, it costs anywhere between $1.80 and $2.40, right? Because you get them in bulk. But if you go to a Quick Pick, you may pay up to $3, right? Some of you know that. I don't ever get them at Quick Pick. If you go to a restaurant, how many know they can be $5? Right? If you go to airport, they just rob you, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's, okay, Pastor, that's great. What does that mean? How many know what makes a difference in what this costs? It's the same ingredients, right? It's the same labeling, the same packaging, everything. What makes a difference is the environment that you purchase it. And I tell you that to tell you this morning. Listen, you're in an environment this morning that is valuable. And if you will let him, the Holy Spirit, will actually teach you something that will change your life. You can actually walk in a way in a season, and you can learn even in the hard days that we serve a good God. So listen, I know we all got stuff and we all got distractions and we all got stories, but I'm just here to tell you God's writing your story. And God's got something good for you this morning. We just got to get ready for it. Everybody say, I'm ready. I'm ready. This morning I want to give you some, just a moment, and give you some wisdom for the hard days. I call it hard day wisdom, right? Because like a lot of us, the more people I hear, it cracks me up. We gripe about it in church, but then when it comes time to come pray about it, nobody shows. Uh-oh. Right, we'll talk about our aches and our pains and our problems like in the back, but then when it comes to like doing something, right? Like we can complain about it and nothing happens, but when we pray about it, something always happens. So like a lot of people recently, I found myself looking for encouragement in the middle of all the bad news. There's so much bad news, right? You got the war and you got the hate. Like people don't even know people and they hate people groups. Right? And you have people who are battling sickness and financial struggle and spiritual apathy that I see. I'll go to church if everything's good, right? Right tonight, some of us already decided we're not coming. Or we are coming. We already decided because what's going to happen? I don't know. Again, can I just tell you, we said this last weekend, right? I had my first experience with Jesus at 12 years old at a kids' crusade. Right? The devil is training our kids and our grandbabies every single day. In public school and everything you watch, the iPad that you get. Come on, somebody. Can I just meddle for a moment? And if it rains, you're going to work tomorrow. So can't you, do we love our children enough to be in his house? Come on, somebody, I'm moving on. Whew, that's all right. But it's apathy. It's like, well, I don't feel like going to church. Can I just tell you, it's just, I don't care. But yet we look at the world and we see Jesus is coming soon, everybody. Right? And so we better be about the Father's business. So I want to give you a verse today, some wisdom from God's word that we can stand on that will actually sustain you, and you can walk differently, and you can walk with a holy knowing in your spirit that God is in control, and you can walk through the hard times with some strength, everybody. I love the book of Romans probably because it gives the clearest description of what an authentic Christian looks like. And we're going to read from chapter 12 this morning. But if you read chapter 13 as well, it'll give you just a bigger picture of what a mature Christian is supposed to look like in everyday life. But in chapter 12, there's one little verse that I think is just packed full of wisdom. So in the middle of your grief and in the middle of uncertainty and with all the division and all the bad news that we know all about, There's a verse that I want to say that is a go-to verse, that is something that you can stand on, that's something that is sure, that's something you can walk with confidence in, something that is absolutely true, and it's eternal. Come on, somebody. We're putting all our hope in, well, if this happens, and we'll see what happens over here, and we'll see what happens. Listen, can I just tell you, we live in a day and an age where we need to, even in the hard days, we need to have a God that we're walking with, that we've got some confidence in. So Paul says this in Romans chapter 12, verse number 12, it says this: rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Again, we're living in some of the most uncertain times of our life, right? And what we find in this verse, this one little verse, is Paul giving us instruction on how to navigate the uncertainty and the adversity that we walk through. He's showing us how to live as a mature, Christ-centered, life-giving Christian when we face hardship and suffering. Because how many know we walk through some things, but we're supposed to walk through differently? This verse is really the Christian life summed up in one single verse. So I want to unpack it today. Look again at what Paul says. He says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. How many know our natural reaction to uncertainty and hardship is to turn inward? Isn't it? If we're not careful, fear will make us selfish. Come on, somebody. What happens when the world starts falling apart around us is we become people who are just into self-preservation. And if we're not careful, even our prayer life becomes self-centered and self-seeking. Because we turn to God like he's a genie in a bottle to get us out of jams and pay no attention. Listen to me. I want to teach you something. And pay no attention to God's bigger agenda for your life, or his bigger agenda for the world. Can I just remind you today that everything we see going around, like, God's got a bigger agenda than what we're walking through right now. He's got a plan, everybody. We can sometimes, because we get afraid and we become self-centered, we forget about everybody else's needs around us. Right? But Paul calls us to be more Christ-like and mature when we walk through difficulties of life. And I want to help us this morning. When we read Romans chapter 12, verse number 12, there's six words that's going to jump out at you, or should jump out at you. And they are rejoice, which is have joy, hope, patience, tribulation, constance, which is consistency, and prayer. I want you to see that list, because tribulation is in the middle, and here's the deal. It's different than any of the other words on that list, right? Joy, hope, patience, consistency, and prayer are all things that we can experience, that are things that we do, right? But tribulation is something that's done to us. Isn't that right? Joy, hope, and patience, and consistency are all moral virtues, and they come from within our souls as God pours out his grace for us to be more like Jesus. But tribulation is different. It doesn't come from within. It comes from outside. Right? And if you don't have a kingdom focus, listen to me, church. If you don't have a kingdom focus, an eternal perspective, and we don't completely trust God, listen, if you're not careful, tribulation will eat your lunch. Right? It'll destroy you. So I want to start with talking about being patient in tribulation, because tribulation is the environment. Listen to me. I know we don't like this, but I'm just going to tell you. It's the environment where godly virtues in your life are produced. Here's what I mean by that. Tribulation is a normal experience for all of us this side of heaven. Isn't that true? Right? Some tribulation we share together, whether you're a believer or you're not a believer. There are certain things that's going to happen to all of us, right? People are going to get sick. Death is going to happen. All kinds of afflictions and setbacks and suffering. But tribulation is unique sometimes to believers, like in times where we're just being persecuted, right, for serving God. Like, that can be unique to us. But regardless, tribulation is a normal experience of just being alive. If you're alive, you're going to have some trouble. And according to Scripture, hardship is to be expected in the world. Job chapter 14, verse number 1 says this, "Man who is born of woman is a few days full of trouble." And then Jesus said this, and again, this is not a refrigerator verse. But John chapter 16, verse number 33 says this, "I've said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I've overcome the world." Most of the time when we're reading this promise from Jesus, our attention is on the back part of that verse, right? But take heart, I've overcome the world. But how do you know tribulation is just as much a promise as the first, right? But we forget the first part. Right? The first part is you're going to have tribulation, and that's a promise. Tribulation happens with living. It's part of life. If you're either going through it now, or you will go through it. I like to say it this way. You're either going through it, you're coming out of it, or you're about to go into it. Pastor, I need some positive. I'm positive. It's going to happen. Right? Tribulation, though, is the soil that produces harvest over every other seed in your life. It may not be what we like, right? But listen, it may not make you comfortable, and we may not like it, but can I just tell you, comfortable is not the promise of Scripture. Character is. And character's formed in tribulation. And trial, right? Here's what you got to know. Tribulation is not meant to break us. It's supposed to make us. Let me say that again. Tribulation is not meant to break us. It's supposed to make us. Tribulation is the soil that produces a harvest in every place of our life. And again, we may not like it, but it's part of it. We got to know that sorrow, suffering, and sickness, tribulation, all those things are molding us, if we will allow it, into Christ's likeness. And can I just say this to you? Preparing us for eternity. Paul says in the second letters to the Corinthians, he says the same thing to them, right? He says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." So we fixed our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And we know people make all kinds of decisions based on what we can see. But Paul says, no, I'm not looking at what I can see. I'm looking at what's eternal, right? And as hard as your current circumstances may be in your life today, there's something supernatural, Paul says, that's happening on the inside of you when you walk through whatever you're walking through. Listen, and you can't see it with your physical eyes. Listen, whatever difficulty you have going on in your life, you got to know this. He's working even when you don't see it, right? God is using the season you're walking through right now to prepare you and to mature you. And if you will let him, he'll take the tribulation and use it as the soil that's going to grow you into maturity and joy and hope and patience and consistency in your prayer life. This is why Paul said, be patient in tribulation, because something supernatural is being produced in you. If you'll remain clay in his hands. Right, we used to remember back in the olden days. This ages me, but you already know I'm old. But we used to sing the song, "He is the potter, I'm the clay." How many know it's we got a whole lot of hard clay anymore? Like, we don't want God to change us, convict us about nothing. We go to church every week. What did God speak to you about something? He convict you about? Nope. I'm blessed and highly favored. So you love all your enemies? The people you cussing at on the news, you love those people? The people you don't even know that's just a different religion or a different color than you are? That I don't go to that, I don't go to that neighborhood because those people. I love to tell you I have it all together. I don't have it all together. Right? But Paul takes this principle a step further in Romans chapter 5. Verses 3 through 5, he says this. He says, "Not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering." Anybody do that? Praise the Lord for a flat tire. Knowing that suffering produces. It's producing something, everybody. It says it's producing an endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. You notice that God's like he's producing even when we don't like it. Paul makes it clear that Christian joy, hope, patience, endurance are not experienced in seasons free of tribulation. Right? Those Christ-like traits are born in us and produced in us in the soil of tribulation. Look again at what Paul says in verse number 3. We rejoice in suffering, knowing that our suffering produces endurance. Don't miss this. I need you to think about this. Paul is saying, listen, I don't just tolerate tribulation. I make it serve God's purposes in my life. Oh, come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Right? When we allow suffering in our life to mature us, rather than rebuke it, we're not just tolerating it, we're making it serve God's purpose in my life. And I just wonder sometimes if we don't have the character that we need to have sometimes, is because every time God tries to build something in us, we rebuke it. I don't want that lesson, right? Let me talk about patience. Everybody, don't pray for patience. We're rebuking the very thing God's trying to build in us. The very character God's trying to build in us. We're like, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I just think sometimes we're closing the door when God's like, I'm trying to mature you. Right? Now look, let's look at the first phrase in Romans chapter 12, verse number 12. It says, rejoice in hope. It reminds us today that, listen, real joy is rooted in eternal hope. Rejoice in hope. Hope is what is the root of joy. Right? So tribulation is the soil. Hope is the root of everything that's going to grow in your life. And here's how it plays out in real life. For Christians, listen to me, you can have lots of things going really, really bad in your life right now, but the bad doesn't have to rob you of your joy if your joy is anchored and rooted in something that transcends your circumstance. Let me say it this way, in someone that transcends your circumstance. Right? Something that's beyond your current surface. Listen, because here's what we do. We turn our eyes toward Jesus. Our anchor is in Jesus. And listen, can I just remind you, church, that Jesus and your relationship with him is going to outlast both your suffering and the present world that you're in. So we can have a hope that's fulfilled only when we stand in the presence of God for eternity. That's why a follower of Jesus can rejoice in tribulation and not just in times of health and peace and prosperity and where everything's going great. Romans chapter 5 verse number 2 says this. It says, through him we've also obtained access by faith into the grace which we stand and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The object of our hope is his glory. We were made to live in his glory, church. We were made to live in his presence. The glory of God is where our heart is at home. It flourishes, right? But how many know on this earth, you're only going to experience a measure of his glory, right? But our hope is anchored in the reality that one day all the suffering and all the sin and all the bad and all the nasty and all the heartache is going to give way to the full glory of God, everybody. Right? So we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The ultimate hope of every heart is the glory of God. You were made to see and savor the glory of God. That's why we have Christmas, and that's why we have the Good Friday, and that's why we have Easter. That's why it all happened, so we can be fully alive in eternity with Christ. Right? That's been God's plan since the garden. That's why Romans 12:12 says, let us rejoice in hope. Romans 5:2 says, rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Listen, the heartache of this world is proof that you and I were made for another world. Right? So we can rejoice in the promised hope that Jesus is going to wipe away every tear. He's going to wipe and he's going to make right every wrong. And I just want to remind you, no matter how hard your day is today, can I just say this from the heart right now? No matter what you're walking through, no matter what bad news you have, no matter who's got whatever going on, can I just tell you? Again, we used to sing these songs, and we don't sing them anymore because we got new and improved, right? Supposedly, one glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. And we get so caught up in the here and now, and I'm just trying to get through the week, and I'm just trying to get through the day, and we forget to hope in the glory of the Lord, everybody. In that moment, when you realize every earthly hardship and suffering was worth it all, our suffering, regardless of how difficult it is going to pale in comparison to his glory then. That's why Paul writes, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. This was the hope that sustained Paul in his letter to the Romans and in Corinthians. He says, listen, the affliction in my life right now is not meaningless, and it's not cruel, and it's not pointless. He's like, it's working for me. Come on, somebody. Right? I know we don't look at it that way. I'm trying to give us like a mature, like this is hope for real life. This is scripture to stand on the most difficult day, the difficult diagnosis, the difficult days, the bad outlook, like whatever you're walking through. Right? Paul's like, this isn't pointless. God's working something in me. This isn't meaningless. This is just, well, the devil. Listen, the devil can't do nothing, because all power is given to God. Right? But Paul understands, listen, my suffering right now, it's molding me. It's shaping me. It's preparing me for the glory that's going to be outweighed every moment of suffering when this life is over. That's the Christian hope. And can I just tell you, it's different than the world's hope. I said it's different. So tribulation is the soil. Hope is the root. Joy and patience are the fruit. Patience and joy become the fruit. All of it grows out of tribulation. But our hope has to be rooted in something beyond this world. And when that happens, when you're going through tribulation, it produces patience and joy. And we see it in the life of Jesus in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says this. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So there's a joy, and there's a hope, and there's a patience in tribulation, and Jesus embodied it and lived it out. Jesus lived out what Paul is saying to us in Romans chapter 12. And then Paul says this. He says, be constant in prayer. That word constant doesn't mean you're praying every minute of every day. Isn't that true? But it does mean persisting in prayer. Right? A few weeks ago, we had a service, and I just, for whatever reason, I don't know still to this day, right? I just know that I just couldn't leave service. And everybody was gone, and I ended up leaving church. I sit over there in that corner until 2:30 in the afternoon, calling out to God. I'm not saying you got to do that. I'm just simply saying, listen, when God says you do, you do. I want to see God do a miracle. Well, me sitting in a corner until 2:30 was a miracle, y'all. Come on, somebody. Right, it was time for lunch. Y'all all gone to eat and have a nap. And I'm not saying that for me. I'm just simply saying, listen, Paul is saying, listen, you don't have to constantly be, but we persist in prayer. He's like, we persevere in prayer. It means being devoted and not giving up. Last Sunday night, we sat here, and Alexis and Perry and Susan and Michelle and myself, and we sat here, and we were praying for Tylan. He was filled with the Holy Spirit on Sunday, was he just scared of you? Is that what happened? Because he's like, you can't quit. You ain't stopping, right? Because isn't it true? Like if God doesn't bless me in the first 30 seconds, then God didn't move that day. But Alexis is up in his face like, you can't quit. Keep on. Keep, right? Paul is just saying, like, you got to keep on going. You got to keep on praying. You got to keep on calling. You got to keep on asking. Paul's saying Christians need to make prayer more like a regular, habitual, reoccurring, disciplined part of their life. We ought to treat prayer like we do lunch. How many are thinking, I think I'm going to skip lunch today? You're like, when is he going to shut up so I don't go to lunch today? Right? Because we're going to have lunch. We're going to eat. Come on, somebody. We live in Louisiana, y'all. Come on, somebody. Paul said, listen, put priority. And, right? That's what I'm just saying. He's just put priority there. Right? How many know, again, if it rains tomorrow, guess what, tonight, and it's a, right, you're going to work because you're going to get a temporary paycheck, right, that you're going to gripe about because you got a paycheck on Friday and it's gone by Monday. But you're going. Paul said, make prayer a bigger priority than that. Come on, somebody. Am I preaching good this morning? Come on. Prayer is not designed to be a biblical bailout plan. Prayer is a conversation that builds our relationship with Jesus. Yes, God can touch you anytime and he'll help you out anytime, but he's dishonored. Listen to me. He's dishonored in our lives when mature believers don't give him focused attention. Oh, I'm mature. I've been saved for a long time, but we don't have time to come and just let him speak to us. Right? Can I just say this to you? Listen, all relations suffer without a focused attention, right? If I just say, hey, Michelle, I'll see you next week and I don't ever talk to her and give her the time of day, how many know that's not going to be a healthy, good marriage, right? How many know if you just come on Sunday and, hey, Jesus, and that's the only time you've seen him and the only time you've cracked up, opened the word, it dishonors God, right? Paul is calling us to a life of regular planned time with God that's more, listen to me, that's more than self-absorbed cries for help. Again, I just said he'll help you anytime. He'll do whatever. But can I just tell you, our prayer time, real prayer is worship. Real prayer, is intercession. Right? For other people. It's praying for God to fulfill his agenda in this world. He says, pray this way. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Prayer should become a conversation with a friend. Being in constant prayer is God's way of bringing hope and producing a fruit of joy and patience when we're going through life's hardships and difficulties. And worship team, you guys can come. Prayer is the engine that makes it all grow. So let me say it this way, one more time. So tribulation is the soil, hope is the root, and you have the fruit being produced from that, and it takes nourishment of prayer to make it all grow. That makes sense, everybody? I want to circle back and give you context. And I'm going to read it out of the NLT this time, Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 13, to just give you context to where this whole thing starts. It says, don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good, love each other with genuine affection, and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope, be patient in trouble, and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Excuse me. So this whole thing starts with don't pretend to love people. Do it for real. Do it right. The whole context of Romans chapter 12 is this conversation about love in the middle of a relationship. So here's the deal. Love is the seed that starts the whole thing. Right? So you plant the seed of Christian love in the soil of tribulation and you anchor it to the root of hope and the fruit is joy and patience are born and it's all nourished by our consistency in our prayer life. Right? So let me just say it one more time. Lauren, you can get the lights. And we're going to pray in just a moment. Tribulation is the soil. Love is the seed. Hope is the root. Joy and patience are the fruit. And prayer is the nourishment that makes everything grow. Right? That is how mature believers walk and live their lives in the hard days. And can I just tell you, like, we're living in hard days. Right? I've had several people like, man, I know it's hard. It is hard. I'm not pretending that it's not hard for me right now, right? Walking through some stuff and but no more than anybody else in this place. I just want to walk different. Right? I don't want to, can I just be honest with you for a moment? I don't want to let what's going on in my life be so overwhelming that I forget about everybody else's life. Right? Because the devil will do that. You have a tribulation and it's my diagnosis and what I'm facing. Does God care? Yes, he does. Will he help you? Absolutely, he will. But God is working stuff on the broader scheme of things that we don't even see sometimes. Because we just get inward focused, and I just don't want to live that way. I'm not going to live that way, right? I'm going to walk through with a peace that's different than everybody. They only have peace, right? Some Christians only have peace when everything's going perfect. I don't know about you. I've never had a day where everything went perfect, right? Right? I don't want to be a person that has, I'm going to have peace when everybody's well and the cars are all running and the kids are all good. Then I've got plenty of money in the bank. Like, dude, no. When I'm walking through the hardship, I want people to look at me and say, dude, what's wrong with you? And you've got a peace. Like, I know what's going on in your life. Like, you've got a peace. And I don't want them to look at me. I want them to say, yeah, I do have a peace. And let me tell you why I have a peace. Because I know the peace speaker. And he's not just a song that I sing. I know a way maker. And it's not just a song that I sing. I know the King of Kings. And he's Lord over every job and over every household and every sickness and every disease and every circumstance. And because I serve him, I'm on the winning team, everybody. And so that's why I can say, listen, whatever happens with my parents or my dad, listen, he wins. Listen, if you're a Christian, you win either way. I told a friend this morning, I said, you can't threaten us with heaven. Come on, somebody. Right? I'm just telling you, we can live differently. We can walk differently. Right? I'm not talking about suffering doesn't happen. Paul suffered. But he walked through it. He said, listen, this tribulation is not my master. It's my maker. It's forming something in me that God wants in me.